Hi, friends. What we're going to do today is we're just really going to read through the sugya with Rashi, and that may very well take us through the day. If we have time, we'll start doing the gonin. But if we end up knowing the sugya well, I will be quite happy, and I hope that everyone will be ready to read. Okay.
Wait, where's my bubble butter?
Here we go. All right. Do you know you want to start? Okay. All right. Yaakov, you want to start?
Sure.
Take us through. So what does that mean?
So if there is a storefront in a shared chazer, meaning one person owns a store in a chazer where multiple people live, then the multiple people can make a claim against the store owner and say, we can't sleep from all the people coming into your store and exiting your store.
So this is the store is already in practice, and they can claim right after the store has already been around for 30 years, somebody new can move into the chazer and say, sorry, it's too noisy, close your store?
At this point, seemingly.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that for now.
Also, we weren't sure in Seder whether it was an app or a good night's sleep that they were complaining about.
So what time of day?
Yeah.
It's just like, it seems... It's a possibility that the person was selling things, like on a more rare basis, and then maybe due to the insane profit, they decided that this would become their day job, or their more regular profession. So
you're claiming a gradual evolution, but in the case I proposed to Yaakov, you're saying there's no way that you could stop somebody, you could force somebody to close the store because of the noise. It does say chalitza b'chaser, and that means what?
There is a thing that is there all the time, and at some point, either the nechnasim b'yotzin become too much annoying, or the person changes their mind and decides that they can no longer deal with this.
So the default zoning of every of any residential chaser is residential, and any commercial enterprise right now is an at will tenant of all the residents.
Seemingly so.
Okay, that's the most radical thing. So now you're going to go. Yaakov also said seemingly. And for now, if Yaakov has put a few more qualifications. Yes, sir.
Right. Why are we assuming that is there any reason that we're assuming it can't be a new chanuk?
So Avi wants to argue grammatically. It says, right, that chanuk implies a pre existing thing.
Right, but there wasn't a chanuk. Now,
chanuk chevachaser. It's a theoretical construct.
Right.
Okay, I am.
Where's the now come from?
Where's the what?
It's not Misha Batayach and Mitchabach there. It's a chanuk
chevachaser. Okay.
He changed his hours.
I see. I think the language goes with Avi if I had to default, but on the other hand, the justice seems to go the other way, and so the question is whether the Avi's reading is so implausible that we can't possibly tolerate it.
Wow.
Yes, Jen.
Well, I was just going to take it, probably less probable. Is there any chance they could be talking about like preventing someone from setting up a store? I mean, setting up a store takes time, right? Like, if I see my neighbor starting to set up a store, am I allowed to come and say, hey, like, don't even go there? You're not allowed.
So we have three possibilities. We have the existing store, which a new person moves in and says, I'm a sensitive sleeper, you can't do this. We have a new store which is allowed to open, but then, right, the neighbors say it's too long, and then we have, right, Jenna suggesting that we go to a preliminary injunction.
Right.
Right, you can claim that, I know this door makes so much noise that you're right, that there's no possibility I'll be able to sleep. Yes, Avino.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like that, because it sounds like there are currently people coming in and buying, which would imply that the store is already open.
So we're at the same grammatical level point as Avi, though, you think, right, so you think the present tense is dispositive. Yes, Avino.
I think also the lesson of the other, assumes that's existent. I find that to be an extra word to say yachol lumpos, but like.
Okay, back it is. We'll see if that holds up. Yes, Josh.
Maybe it was a pre-existing store, but now there's like a fad for Tickle Me Elmo.
Huge lines out the window.
Maybe the store opened sometime in December, and now that it's their first Black Monday. Or whatever. Pardon?
Maybe it's an Apple store, and there are 14 of them.
All right.
But we don't say, this is the category of stores in Fateres.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, maybe it's all of the above.
Maybe. All right, I think if you can engage with... You might say that you can engage, right? It's not called a homer. You might say you can engage in a preliminary injunction. Once the store is set up, you can't do anything, Or you might say at least you have to let it try. Or you can say that once the store has existed for a long time, it has a chazaka, right? You can't. Right? So I can see it each of the ways. I think I understand that the simplest logical way of reading it is that it's talking about an existing store without any further qualifications. But I think that there might just be an intuitive thing that can't possibly be true. Okay, yeah, we'll go on.
About Usa Kalim, Yotze Humokar Bito Pashuk, Verni Achol Limko Biado Vomardo, Ini Achol Lishomi, Romiko Apashit, Romiko Arechaim, Romiko Hatipo.
So what does that mean?
So someone who is makes tools in his house in the Chazer.
Tools?
Not tools, maybe just articles. General
articles. It's fantastic.
Bridges.
Stuff. I'm fishing for a word. He makes vessels, things.
Yes.
Then he can go from his house to the shuk and sell the things there.
Uh-huh.
No one has a claim against him, in which they could say, I can't sleep because of the hammer in your house or the mill or the children in your house.
Okay, so let's bracket the children for the moment. All right, so Miriam, what's the difference between the store and the utensil maker?
Well, one is in the store, that's where the actual selling is happening, that's where the consumers are. And the other one, he's just making the product for the store, and he's doing the actual transaction somewhere else.
Okay, and so that's right. So now we have our first distinction, right? So in the first case, there are transactions taking place in the chaser. In the second place, the transaction takes place outside the chaser. Okay, but where does the noise take place in the second case?
In the chaser.
Okay, so let's write. So you're right, that's a first level distinction, which seems to suggest that you are allowed to object to the noise of commerce. Right, it's effective if you object to the noise of commerce. But if the commerce takes place outside, you're not allowed to object to the noise of manufacturing. Okay, now the fly in that ointment is the sound of the tinokot. What are the tinokot doing? And Rashi tells you that for now
it's a sweatshop.
Rashi tells you. All right, Elliot, what does Rashi tell me? Elliot. Did I not put it in the packet? I didn't put it in the packet. Okay.
The one Rashi
mentioned.
Fine, the one Rashi said. Rashi says you would think it means that, you know, it means the children are coming to buy stuff. But it can't mean that, right? So that Rashi says that now, but we're going to reject that because we're going to come back to Miriam. And we're going to say, no, the difference is between the noise of manufacture and the noise of commerce. Okay, so now, yes, John?
I mean, I think it's also like that. It's not just whether the things are being made or sold. It's that who's making the noise, right? Who's making the noise is the person who lives there versus, I mean, the Tino quote obviously doesn't fit in this, which is why we have to go into a whole discussion about it, but it's, I live here. I can make all the noise I want, whether it's making something for compass, whether it's singing in the shower, whether it's, like, whatever it is, I live here. But if I'm going to invite other people in, then, like, they're bound by more rules than me.
Super. Right, so we can claim, that the distinction as to what makes the noise is an accident. And the essential distinction is who makes the noise. And really, you can do whatever you want in your household. There are no noise restrictions on members of the chaser. And it's not a distinction between residential and commercial either, it's just a distinction, right? So you could, right, you could run the noisiest eBay selling business in the world also, as long as you don't have actual customers coming to the door. Yes, Supermacho.
Maybe it's whether it's necessary to do it inside the chatzer, because with abundance you can presumably go into the shuk, but with manufacturing you probably have to be at home because your equipment is.
So okay, so we could say it's not really who does it, it's a question, well, play it out. So Chanut, you could presumably go into the shuk and do and sell?
Yeah.
Whereas you're not allowed to set up a...
Whereas you're probably not allowed to set up a mill in the middle of the shuk,
But the problem with that is that you could be in a small town that doesn't have a shuk. So you're basically going to have...
I think we're presuming that you're in a city because of the chatzer. You don't have to chatzer in small towns.
The environment without a shuk, that's an interesting question. Was there such a thing as a place?
People come from the old shuk.
If there's no shuk, how are you going to sell anything? There's no one there to buy it.
You're going to sell
things
to your neighbor.
No,
you
must
shuk. Yeah, you can sell things on the streets. You can't, like,
things. Right, so NH wants to argue that the shuk can be a time and not a place. Right?
Yeah, Yom HaShuk just means, like, the big fair.
Right, well, but also there has to be a space to run the big fair.
Okay, but, like, meaning you just need a field for that, and where you set up tents for 3 days to have a fair.
Okay, so let's say the fundamental claim is that there are certain kinds of practices that have to take place on your private property, and that it's unreasonable, even though if you're a farmer, we don't tell you, right, we tell you, we walk outside the town, but it's unreasonable to tell a miller to set up outside the town. I'm not sure why that's true. There are mills out, usually set up the mill where the stream is.
Are we talking
about a
miller here?
Well, I believe Reichheim is a hand.
But if you could tell someone that they have to set up, like, you can't have your office in your house, you have to, take your equipment, set up a shop somewhere, and do your work there. You don't have to do it.
We're talking about Reichheim, the mission. The mission is talking about something like
melting
tools.
But I just said, why can't we just set a requirement set up your business? Right? Why is it necessary to allow you to set up your business in the chatzer?
Because for most people, it's too expensive to set up a workshop outside of your house.
That's too expensive, but it's not too expensive to set up a chanut.
No,
you
can
just
set up like a
because
like
we think that a
chanut,
right, having a fixed retail location is a luxury. Anybody who sells out of a fixed retail location could instead sell on the street. That's the assertion.
Perhaps. No, they have an idea of people are going around.
Okay. So we don't have to privilege you by allowing you a retail location, because anybody who is not actually a producer has the option of being a roving capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe. Yes, Ellie.
Didn't Rashi say that it's expected to open up a business in your house?
It's expected.
Yeah, like it's normal that it's worth anything.
So why is it normal to open a business?
What?
It's circular, whatever
it's
normal is.
It's saying it's normal to open a chanut in your house.
Yeah,
which makes even less sense.
Wait, a chanut or like a workshop?
The workshop.
You mean a workshop. It's normal to open a workshop, but I think this is circular. It's not, right? It depends on what the zoning regulations are.
No, I mean, the lesson of Pierce is that just, it's pasha, that like, wherever it is, if people, I think it was back then.
Okay, so you want to claim that zoning regulations are reflective of social mores.
Yeah.
Not creative.
It's a reductive multi-figure.
And in Achinami, where you might argue, therefore, that this halakha would change, right? Just depending, right, that it's not setting out an eternal halakha. It's just saying, this is the minhag ha-makom of Eretz Yisrael right now, is that we treat it as normal, and it's like a shomer b'sayim Hashem type thing. When you move into a chatzir, you have to expect that there's going to be noise from the guy going bang, bang, bang at the potter's wheel, but you can't possibly deal with the hubbub of people coming in and out to buy. Okay. Possible. Okay, yes, Tova.
I didn't understand the Rashi about the Kol Atino code.
The Rashi tells you that right now you're thinking that the Kol Atino code is the right is all the children coming in to buy. He says wine and oil and everything else which is sold in a store.
So
he's putting the store in. So it's going to be problematic. Right? Why is he putting the store in the second half?
Yeah.
Good. That's very problematic. Okay. We'll try and help it. Yes, Avi.
I don't know why you're viewing this from the perspective of zoning regulations. It sounds more like the rights of tenants or neighbors that are put into effect ad hoc. It's not that, oh, you can't put a store there because, like, this is the difference between the preemptive, you can't put a store here, and the, there is a store here, and I can complain. Chanut shebechatzer, I can complain about Yotzi v'nichasi. because I, as a tenant, have a right to decide that your Yotzim V'Nichnasin are a problem. I, as the Beit Din, don't have to sit and think, will there be Yotzim V'Nichnasin? Will this person complain? No. I wait for a complaint to be brought, and the complaint is brought under the koteret of tenants' rights.
So, okay, so I'm not sure that you're not giving me the... What you want to say is I'm imposing a frame, and the frame is city planning.
Yes.
And it's not really about city planning at all. It's really just about navigating relationships among neighbors.
Yes.
Even though it has the same consequence.
But then, so what does the...
Well, but no, there are different nafkaminas.
Yeah, there are different nafkaminas.
Yeah, it's a lot of ego. Yes,
whether... I think the nafkamina is about whether the case of I can stop you to begin with or not, is whether it's at all reasonable. If this is about zoning regulations, then I can say, no, a chanut ben eshek b'chatzer has yotzim v'nichnasim, and that is not allowed, and I can stop you before anything starts. I have to be... This says no. You have to be able to bring the complaint of damages. I can't sleep.
Uh-huh. So that's interesting. You want to argue that it's only a zoning regulations that, right, allows for preliminary injunctions,
yes,
whereas tenant relationships doesn't allow for preliminary injunctions. In the same way that, let's say, for example, you don't think that I could sue if you leave your barn door open, if your cow has not yet escaped, I can't make Beit Din require you to close your barn door.
Correct.
So that is right. So that in a sense is not community, right? It's a interesting question. To what extent do the powers of Beit Din extend to preliminary injunctions generally?
Yeah.
Right. That's a right. That's a fair question about the power of Beit Din, which I don't think there's a very clear answer to in the abstract, because it may be different, but they need to adopt different strategies. Okay.
It depends. I don't know. I imagine Bate Din as being parallel to the work of the court. The court only works when somebody brings a case.
No, of course, but you can bring a case and ask for a preliminary injunction. That's how much of the American system
sometimes
works.
It does, but zoning regulations are done by a bureaucratic board under the executive, not under the judicial.
Okay, that I think is an imposition, because I don't, you know, because the, that's imposed.
That's
an accident.
For zoning, you don't have to say that there are damages. I mean, that might be your point.
Exactly.
Right, that's what I'm explaining is... But I'm not sure in, right, so you're adding a conceptual framework to the distinction between post-facto and preliminary injunctions, right? You're saying that by setting it up as zoning, you think that if it were damages, there would not be the capacity to sue for a preliminary injunction to prevent damages. I'm just pointing out there are court systems where you can do that, and then I'm giving you the case in halakha is, can I sue to make you, right, to make you be shomer your ox, even if your ox is not yet damaged? Right? And I don't know that it's necessarily beyond the powers of Beit Din to accomplish that, although it might very well be that Beit Din can choose whether or not to relate to that, or it might be the right, because if we say that Nezikin is usher, then we could, right, then you can see the constructing that. Okay, Josh, you want to say something?
No.
Jenna?
Well, just, I feel like either way, we still have to figure out what the difference between the workshop and the store is, because in one case the Beit Din says no, and in one case they say yes, right?
Yeah, but Avi thinks that it's not about what we think is the ideal, or the ideal chatzer, it's about, right, it's about the respective rights of the various tenants in the space, right? And that's correct. Those are two different framings. I'm just not sure the nafkamina is there. It's correct to catch me that I imposed a frame on it, and right, and that frame may not be justified. Yes, though.
Well, I also think it also matters in the moral sense, which is, as we read earlier, we're going to come to the question of like whether these are like statutes that are also meant to, you know, impose a moral or ethical framework, and if this is meant to set an ethical ideal. Very different than just about damage.
That is certainly true. Are we doing right? You know, what is our interest here? Right? Do we have any kind of ideals, or is it just the method of adjudicating claims? And if it's a method of adjudicating claims, and it's not ideal, so what is it? Right? What is our ultimate goal? Shalom. Right? Economic growth, whatever it may be. Yes, Alec. Access
to
goods.
At this point in the Mishnah, the discussion is not competition or business; it's just being a good neighbor.
Very likely.
At this point, because I'm not obviously being things really wrong, but like
to, yes,
about the Tova, it's
very likely, very likely. Okay, Judy, you want to take over the Gemara?
Okay, Mishnah Risha, Mishnah Seifa.
So, what's the Risha and what's the Seifa?
I think Seifa is the Enyach Olishan Nikol Nichlasim Kol Yotzim, and then the Seifa is about Ozakeli.
Okay, so the two cases we set out before, right? The Aval is the fulcrum of the Mishnah. We have our two cases. Now, we thought the answer was obvious, right? One is a Chanut and one is a Sekeli. Right? So what does the Gemara say? So what on earth does that mean?
Seifa is Seifa, I guess Seifa, he can be told to go to another Chatzer.
Okay. Oh, no, what do you want to say?
I think the craftsman is in a different chatzer, so you can hear it.
The craftsman is in a different chatzer.
Right, so in the first case...
Yeah.
In the first case, you can complain because it's in the same chatzer, whereas in the second case, it's in a different chatzer, so you can't complain.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a hard reading of the Mishnah, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
It's an easy read of the Gemara.
Yeah, it's
different. And just assume the work now matches the original Hava, you know, that the children are inclusive Yotin. So we have to have some way of distinguishing.
Okay, right. So, right. So that's what Rashi says, is that the problem is, the Lomi Kol Tinoko, it seems to break down, right, the last line of Mishnah, it seems to break down the whole distinction. Right, so now, on our first level, we're going to say, well, really, so the Chanit and Chatzir are accidents because ultimately one, they both say kol of people, so all our attempted distinctions fail. And the answer is, so we have to insert Chatzir Acheret, at which point the Gemara writes Rava properly, right, or whoever was said, Amar Le Rava, what are you talking about? If you wanted to say Chatzir Acheret Mutter, it should say Chatzir Acheret, right? There's a much easier way to write the Mishnah than, right, than this possibility, which is far from convincing. And yet, Abaye says it. Yes, Abaye. Okay, go on, Judah.
Okay, hello, my Rabbi. Seif atan latino coach of the Rabbi. Mitakanat Yoshua ben Dan Lava'ela.
So what does that mean?
So, in the Seif, the safe was needed to differentiate between is meant to differentiate between a case when of a school.
Okay.
So that's so, meaning that the ratio in the safe would normally be the same side of the coin, except that you couldn't just say chatzer acher mutar because you have to because the safe also has to address the tino kosher b'rabbi.
You couldn't just fakir. Right, chaser acheret works. Right, is necessary for the tinoko, but we think that's implausible. So we have to put them all in the same chaser. But the problem, but the distinction between chanut and beit kelin doesn't work for tinoko. And so we have to put a second distinction into the. Right, we have to put a second distinction into the Mishnah. Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, Ellie, what do you want to say?
No, the tinoko comes from a different chaser. That's a chiddush that we allow them from a different chaser. His chatzer, and even though they're making noise, they're still, you can't complain about them.
Okay, so what we're saying is, really, we have two distinctions. We have a distinction between a chanut and a beit kelim, and then, right, the question is that, right, and then, right, so Jenna tried to break that down and say, that, right, Jenna was really the one who said it depends who's making the noise?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so now, what we come along and say is that that's the basic distinction, but we're going to add a separate distinction, which is that there is one case in which noise from outside is mutar also. And the Lo Mikolotril Tinakot is not a continuation of the Beit Kelim. Right? That's also a hard reading. Yes, Ephraim.
Maybe the distinction between Ose Kelim and Chanas is really the Iniska Umnas distinction, and therefore Tinakot Shabbos Rabban is actually Umnas, and therefore that's why it's included.
Okay, so you want to...
children are really just part of his job.
Do you want to unify it again? Do you want to unify it again and claim that teaching is really more like producing Kelim? And it's not because of the value specifically of teaching, right? It's because teaching is actually a craft and not a thing, right? And really what we have to do is turn children into, right, to finally shape vessels. When you come, you are shapeless lumps of clay. But when you depart, right, they're shaped to you. By elementary school graduation, too. Yes, Jeff?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I was going to try to, mess with what we were talking about, I don't know if I'm just messing with the mission and having it end like a vowel say Kaylin you say with garbage stuff I shook, period, and then a list of things that you can't complain about, but I think that's much better. So
okay. Yes.
I mean, it's pretty clear in Rashi, right, that the only thing, that the contrast is people, right? The contrast is that there are people making noise in the Reisha and people making noise in the Seifa. One case is allowed, one case isn't.
Yeah, but if but that's the difference between Tinoko and everyone else. But Rashi also has to, Rashi ignores the Beit Kelim.
Right, he ignores, because Dover Pasha, that's Mutter. That's not a contrast at all. Because...
That's not a contrast, but it's not a contrast. You don't need to explain that contrast. So the first contrast is obvious, which is the difference between Chanut and Kelim. Right? But then Rashi tells you, but by the way, the reason that was obvious, perhaps, is because you might think it depends on who makes the noise. So he comes and tells you that, Tinoko Shel Beit Rabban is Mutter. Now the question you can ask is, when Rashi tells you that